there, but for the grace of God, in our comfort, we wake up each day and by and large, everything's fine. Well, yesterday and today, there's been a very significant meeting, not far from here. Collector is a little place, not far from Canberra. And the Friends of Collector are conducting a meeting with one member of the Planning Assessment Commission. Don't start me on the Planning Assessment Commission. They're unelected, they have inordinate power, and I'm not too sure they know anything about either planning or assessment. But basically, the Farrell government, Harcher and Co, Brad Hazzard, you're in this, are wanting to construct a wind farm in their town. The Collector community object. 80% of the community living within 5 kilometres of the wind farm are opposed to the approval of the application. So do the local people count for anything? Of course not. And there's a wider issue here about the proliferation of these ridiculous facilities in the region. Collector, Crookwell, Gulsby. None of them have been supported by the locals. None of them. And in relation to the proposal at Collector, where there's this two-day meeting, the Upper Lachlan Shire Council unanimously passed a motion in September last year that the New South Wales government should be requested to not approve the proposed Collector wind farm for one reason. There's a stack of reasons, but for one reason, these wind farms are everywhere, because the community is saying they aren't consulted, they don't want them. So what's this meeting about? Well, groups have been given 15 minutes to speak, individuals have been given 5 minutes, a stack of speakers, the bulk of them opposed to this wind farm nonsense. But basically, the Friends of Collector are saying, we're entitled to the opportunity to present comprehensive arguments and evidence dealing with this proposal. Barry O'Farrell said he'd return power to local communities. Well, the local community are opposed. That should be the end of it. And who the hell are these unelected PACs, Planning Assessment Commission people? Well, let me return to the vandalism. And I thought we'd talk to a lady first, Barbara Bryan. And if Barbara doesn't mind me saying, and I'm sure my listeners understand, Barbara is like all of us. She's just an ordinary person out there trying to go about her life. She spoke yesterday at this meeting, and it's on again today at the Collector Memorial Hall in Bourke Street, Collector, not far from here, not far from Canberra. But no one cares. These poor people just are hung out to dry. The papers are full of everything. The news will be full of stuff tonight. These people don't exist. They're west of the Great Dividing Range, of course. But Barbara Bryan is a metaphor of the community. She runs a successful business. It's an internationally respected website for single mums, www.singlemum.com.au. She works from home because she's got 3 school-aged daughters. She works alone. She'll be stuck with this stuff 24 hours a day. She's on the line. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Well, you spoke yesterday. What was the mood like there?
Oh, it was quite angry, I guess.
Mm.
Of course, the whole community is opposed to the wind farm.
Yep.
And the feelings are...
Community don't count, Barbara. Why community can't count? You're a nobody. You know, that's what they're saying.
It feels that way.
Yeah, yes. Get used to the fact you're a nobody, eh? you're going to be impacted by audible noise, by infrasound, by the industrial turbine development. Then there's a visual aspect. And you've got to deal with this lie that this won't affect you.
Yes, it's not going to affect us.
Not going to affect you.
So they say. They keep telling us that,
yeah.
Or at least...
I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you about the technicalities of wind power, and I'll do that in a minute. But I just wanted to talk to you about democracy. How do you feel... Because you're talking to, we're going to 77 stations around this country. How do you feel, ordinary mum, trying to make a quid, make ends meet, and all these people were there yesterday, opposed to it, 99% in the community opposed, speaking to one bloke on the Planning Assessment Commission, I might add, who happens to be a former National Party Member of Parliament, Gary West, who ought to know better, and he ought to, as a country person, say, well, look, I'm listening to the country people and this is not on. But how do you feel about the fact that no one seems to care?
Well, certainly it does seem that way. There was no Labor Party members, no Green members. Katrina Hodgkinson wasn't there.
That's the Barry O'Farrell minister?
Vacant of anyone that really should have been taking an interest.
No one there. So no one from the minister from the
just
O'Farrell
the
government invited, not there. You know, what do these people do? You'll be interested, Barbara, to know that Fred Nile made a speech to the parliament only a couple of days ago. We're October 30, October 22, about wind power, and he stuck to his guns. He cited scientific proof that wind farm indicates wind farms have health impacts, and he quoted it at length. But, of course, does that get reported? No one even knows that Fred Nile made the speech. We just go along with this rubbish, don't we? We're going to get all our energy from wind and don't worry about the Barbara Bryans.
Yes, well, there were certainly quite a few people there that are already living with wind farms, and it was fairly clear that they are very strongly affected health-wise.
And, I mean, the notion, I mean, as I said, you don't mind me referring to you as an ordinary mum, but that's what you are. We're all pretty ordinary people. We're expected to swallow this business that suddenly all the energy needs that we have in the future are going to be secured by wind power. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, it doesn't even pass the laugh test, does it? Eh?
Certainly not around here.
No, well, not anywhere. Not anywhere. You just hang on, Barbara, because you'll enjoy this, because David Mortimer's on the line. Now, just remember one thing. I don't know why we're having this discussion, really, because the Liberal Party and the National Party, prior to elections, promised to address all this. Heavily subsidised, I might add, by the taxpayer. They couldn't survive. I don't mind someone puts a wind turbine up, but if they're not going to affect Barbara, then put them in Macquarie Street outside my building. There we are. They're not going to affect Barbara Bryan. If they don't have any deleterious health effects, shove them in Parramatta Road. Shove a wind turbine in Barry O'Farrell's backyard, Chris Hartcher's backyard. They don't affect you. The noise doesn't affect you. They don't have any deleterious effect on health. Well, one for Brad Hazzard, one for Barry O'Farrell, one for Chris Hartcher. Plenty of them down Macquarie Street, all of them up Parramatta Road. If not, why not? They're heavily subsidised. Julia Gillard, in government, commissioned an expert panel to investigate electricity price increases. There was a British academic, a former New South Wales Treasurer, Michael Egan, a former chair of the Australian Energy Market Commission, and they found that taxpayer-funded subsidies for green schemes, that's the collector wind farm, were wasting resources on a grand scale. That's what the report, commissioned by Julia Gillard. It said the supervision of these green schemes is chaotic, non-existent. In other words, your money completely wasted, and they can't stand on their own two feet. They have to be funded by the taxpayer. And the expert panel, Julia Gillard's, found that scrutiny of public environmental spending and subsidies, your money, quote, is undeveloped with consequent risks of waste of resources on a grand scale. This is an expert panel commissioned by the Gillard government ignored. And this at a time when we're told that Australia has enough brown coal reserves to last 539 years. Black coal and Barbara Bryan's being run out of her little house in Collector because she can't hack what's going to happen to her and the health of her children. We've got black coal reserves to last 111 years. But we introduce a carbon dioxide tax and peddle all these green schemes, sabotaging and destroying one of the nation's greatest competitive advantages. And hence, you're being punished, you, with high electricity prices, which feed into business, which feed into costs, which feed into unemployment. And now you've got these ridiculous wind farms, giant steel wind turbines. And the idea that these things, which wreak terrible damage on the environment, can serve our energy needs in the future is laughable. And in terms of human health, they emit pollution, not only from audible sound, but from infrasound and low-frequency sound, all of which cause serious illness and are causing serious illness. I've got people listening on the internet to me in Victoria at the MacArthur Wind Farm. Ann Gardner lives next to it, struggling to stay on their pins. A report by Professor Hughes of Edinburgh University last year talked about the punitive economic cost of wind turbines. And he calculated in the UK, the bill for wind energy by 2020 will cost British consumers a staggering $120 billion. Yet under the Gillard government, before the end of this decade, and Tony Abbott should scrap this stuff now, we're meant to be spending $17,000 million, erecting between 7,000 and 10,000 of these wind turbines. $17,000 million borrowed money. Well, David Mortimer is an interesting person. He is the first whistleblower. He's the first so-called host farmer in Australia to speak out about the impact of turbines. In other words, he's been paid to have turbines on his property. He believed all this crap when they peddled it to him. But no amount of money now will stop the suffering he's experiencing. David Mortimer, good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Barbara.
So wind farm developers knocked on your door offering good money to use part of your cattle property in South Australia to host two wind turbine towers.
That's correct, in 1997.
That's it. And you were building, just so happens, a new farmhouse, and you moved into that in 2006. You have given sworn evidence, that's on oath, in a court case in the Victorian Civil and Administrative Appeals Tribunal, that your farmhouse is 2.5 kilometres from the nearest turbine.
No, the farmhouse is 750 metres.
Right.
Where we're living now is 2.5 kilometres from the same turbines.
Same turbines. I've just got a note put in front of me by Paul. My apologies. I was given information last night that Angus Taylor wasn't at that meeting. Sam McGuinness says he was there nearly all day. Well, Angus, my apologies for that. But, Angus, we should have heard from you. Why didn't you speak? My apologies. I correct things if I'm wrong. I was wrong there. I was told last night he wasn't there. But, sorry, you are how far away?
2.5 kilometres from the nearest, it's a cluster of four turbines.
2.5 k's, right?
Yep, yep.
And then, to add to this, your house has got a brick exterior?
It's brick exterior, stone interior.
And it's on a concrete slab, so it's well insulated?
Yes, and directly on the same ridge of hills that the turbines are on.
Right. And you told the court, from the time you moved in, you started experiencing symptoms and sensations which were due, you believe, to the turbine noise.
Well, at the time I didn't know they were.
No.
We never found out until 2012... what the problems were. But can I say, Alan, you know, yep. I'm looking out my window at the moment, and I've done the same thing for the last week, and nothing is moving outside. It's dead calm.
Mm.
It's been like that way for
That's
a
it.
Week.
So you can't. It's not a reliable source of energy to start with, is
no,
it?
No.
And because South Australia are relying on 20% of this in this way, they look like as though they could have very significant energy outages if this nonsense continues.
That's
but just coming back to the noise, I mean, you've talked about, you gave evidence to the court. So, in other words, you were hand on heart and hand on Bible, resonant drumming, thumping, a low whooshing sound, audible noise. You said, I experience a pulsating pressure in my skull, particularly in the base of the skull.
That's correct.
And you said, during the first 12 months living at the new farmhouse, I developed tinnitus, an apparent irregular heartbeat. I'd never had any trouble before.
No, and when we go away from here, we don't have any. In fact, tomorrow morning we're packing up our camper. We're heading bush for a few days to get some decent sleep again.
You said, quite often when I sit down to relax, I experience the same pulsing sensation and experience irregular heart rhythm. I find it impossible to relax. I feel gave this evidence to the court. I feel a strong sense of anxiety because of changes to my heart rhythm and the pressure sensation in my head. My wife began suffering dizzy spells about 3 years ago. She now complains about pulsing and pressure sensations in her head. I mean, how long do we have to suffer this sort of stuff, David?
No, look, it beggars belief, Alan. Last night, you know, as I say, it's calm, dead calm here virtually, but it's on those dead calm nights that we get the low frequency. You can actually hear it. It's not infrasound. It's the low frequency sort of mains related sounds, and it's a deep rumbling, drumming sound. It gets inside your head. You can't block it out. It doesn't matter which way you turn over in bed. It's always there. You have a hard job getting to sleep. When you do, it's from sheer exhaustion.
I can't believe that someone like Tony Abbott, for example, who's the Prime Minister, is listening to bureaucrats and that galoot McFarlane, who says, we're going to get all our power, you know, we're into all of this. This bloke was going to sign a deal with Kevin Rudd, of course, until he was stopped, nipped in the bud. But, I mean, you started with an open mind about all of this. You thought, oh, well, I'll do a thing for my community. I mean, wind power, I'll put it in here and they'll pay me some money and it's fine. What would be your advice to Australia as it prepares to recommit to a target of more than 20% of renewable energy by 2020?
Certainly don't put up wind farms. Besides the fact that they're useless, they are very detrimental to our health. You know, despite what people say, you can't hear it, so it's not doing any harm. But it is, believe me. Look.
Well, you're either a liar. You're either a liar. You've given sworn evidence, or your story has to be investigated.
It certainly does. Look, you talked about the PACs, the assessment commissions. You know, I had my 10 minutes to talk at the local one down here for the next wind farm that's proposed, and mentioned the fact that I've been experiencing these health issues, and same with my wife. Not once did they come out to investigate. Not once did they try and validate it, you know.
No, they just think you're a crank.
That's right.
You're telling lies. I mean, shouldn't we be finding answers to David Mortimer's concerns as an emblem of the overall concerns before we go sailing along with taxpayers' money at places like Collector?
That's right. The whole town of Millicent, where I come from, was shut out of this whole process, this community process. No one was told what was happening, when it was happening. Everything was done in sort of secrecy and silence. And, you know, the only people that were given any chance of having a chat to the PAC was people like myself that had actually adjoining land. Everybody else was shut out. No one had a say.
Just supposing, David, just supposing there's no truth whatever to what you're saying. Just supposing that.
Wouldn't I love it?
Wouldn't you love it? Just supposing that for a moment. Why should these people be kept alive, wind farmers and the Babcock and Browns or the Infogen Energy or whoever the hell these vandals are? Why shouldn't we say, well, look, away you go. You do your best, but there'll be no taxpayer subsidies. Why are these people? I mean, they're vandalising the environment as it is. They're destroying health, but they're being subsidised by the taxpayer.
Yeah, and look, the only people that seem to be getting this are the major lending institutions. They're not lending money out to wind farms unless they've actually got the government guarantee for the renewable energy certificates.
That's right.
So, you know, they're the only ones that seem to be cottoning on. What's with the rest of the world?
Well, we've got a new government in Canberra. What faith do you have in it?
Well, as long as Ian McFarlane's there in the...
That's correct.
..in the energy game, I have grave misgivings.
Okay, now listen. You and I have never spoken about McFarlane, have we?
No.
And there you are. This is an independent comment by a man from South Australia, David Mortimer. Make your comment about McFarlane. He's the energy minister. He's the minister of every damn thing on earth. I've called him brain dead, knows nothing, in bed with every mining interest you can put your hands on. He's the man in Toowoomba, McFarlane. He's in bed with Wagner and Antonio and Sini, the farmer from Monto. All of these people are together and they're in bed with the mining industry. This is going to solve every problem. Mine, wind farm, renewable energy, Kevin Rudd, the whole box and dice, isn't it?
That's right. You know, look, the investigation that he's going to have into the renewable energy target and whatever, the first thing he said was you can sit down and have consultations with the wind energy people. Not us people that own the land, not us people that are suffering, but no, the multinationals that suck our country dry. That's the one he's going to have consultation with.
I mean, you've got the Friends of Collector for 3 years have been fighting this, eh?
Yeah.
What are you saying? We're going to a stack of stations across Australia. You've seen it. You're the whistleblower. You signed up with all the best intentions. And what are you now saying to Australia about wind power?
Look, it doesn't work. It's deleterious to our health. You know, blind Freddie can see what the problem is. But, you know, the rest of the community just don't seem to get it.
No, don't seem to get it.
With the local wind farm people down our way had a damaged blade off a turbine, so they've stuck it in a park in the middle of town now as if to say, look, one of these things is beautiful. It saved them, I suppose, having to dispose of the damn thing.
Barbara, you've heard all that. Barbara Ryan, poor Barbara down in Collector. You're about to get this on your back door, Barbara.
I'm afraid so. It seems that way.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. It really is. When.
What do you tell your daughters?
Oh, it's very difficult. My daughters feel very strongly about it already. My 8-year-old spoke at the meeting last night, and
she felt. Your 8-year-old what?
My 8-year-old spoke at the meeting last night.
And what reaction did she get?
Speech. Oh, a big round of applause. I think that she was trying to speak for all of the children of the town that aren't being listened to, along with their parents.
Mm. David, I've talked often on this program about powerful government, powerful people crushing the little bloke. Democracy's dead if these people win, isn't it?
Yes, but we will win.
We will win, we will.
The message is getting out there.
It is getting out there, and I'll be speaking to Tony Abbott about it. Thank you, both of you. Barbara, my thoughts are with you. Give my very best to everyone there today at Collector.
Thank you so much, Alan.
You're most welcome. And David, we'll keep in touch.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
There you are. And Tony Abbott.